What's up, everyone? This is the Hillside Ventures podcast. I'm Shivam Patel here with this special guest,
Mason Colleen.
And today we're going to be talking about his journey of being a student venture capitalist as well as a student athlete, what opportunities it's brought him, and kind of what it took for him to make it all work. So before we do that, let's have Mason introduce himself.
Yeah. Hey, awesome to have me on. I appreciate you coordinating this. My name is Mason Colleen. I'm a senior finance major here at UConn, on the baseball team, involved in Investment Banking Society as well as Hillside. So some exciting stuff. Had some great time here. Excited to talk. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess we can kick things off right away with, can you walk us through your background and how you got into the VC space? Kind of what made you interested in VC?
Yeah, it's funny. So I've kind of spent stages investing and surrounding myself in finance-related industries here for, you know, the past couple of years. And what really excited me was the really early stage of companies. I had interned at a holdings company actually after my sophomore year. And, you know, Noah, the founder of Hillside, I had been in communication with prior to that, you know, really weighed my options, thought about it quite a bit, and ultimately ended up interning at this holdings company, which, you know, really sparked my interest in VC. I think, you know, it took me, you know, a little bit to realize how interesting and how many opportunities there are out here in this space and how evolving it is. You know, we're really underwriting the future of these companies, and, you know, startups are always doing such interesting things in, you know, really bullish industries such as sustainability that, you know, my background just with 2 months of doing VC angel investing for a holdings company, when I found out something like that was offered at UConn, you know, I didn't even second guess myself. I went right for it. And, you know, now I'm here, you know, about a year and a half into it, managing it as a managing director of diligence and sourcing, and, you know, couldn't be any happier. I think, you know, UConn has so much to offer around Hillside and venture. I think the experiential learning has just taken, you know, this university to the next level, and is something that, you know, is so great.
Definitely. And kind of touching on how you got into VC, and it's super interesting that you've already become kind of the leader of the fund super quickly and super early, and would love to touch more on kind of your role as MD and how you've been able to impact people within the fund, kind of what you do on a day-to-day and how that affects how everything goes and what you kind of plan on doing for the rest of the semester.
Yeah. Day-to-day is pretty interesting. You know, the interesting thing about Hillside Ventures is that the turnover is so high. You know, a normal VC fund, which we try to replicate within Hillside, you know, employees are there through, you know, the pyramid from analyst to managing director, partner. They're there for, you know, upwards of 15 years. And Hillside, you know, you maybe have 3 semesters before you graduate, you leave, and then, you know, you're an advisor of the fund, but nothing more than that. And so that's the hardest thing that we've had to deal with was the turnover. You know, students drop it, students graduate. It's a new cohort every single 4 months or so. And getting them acclimated and caught up to speed at 19, you know, even 18 to 20 year olds, it's difficult. So day to day has definitely, you know, although being the managing director of sourcing and diligence, a lot of it has been work with the leadership team, you know, Danush and Claudio and past graduates as well, of just getting everyone up to speed, you know, really focusing on the fund's fundamentals, you know, being really good in front of our investment board, you know, everyone, you know, trying to make everyone passionate about this space, giving them the most opportunities as possible. And, you know, going forward for the rest of the semester, I think, you know, we're working on ways to make this transition easier. That's something that has bogged us down for the first couple weeks of each semester, is getting everyone acclimated, and that's normal. But I think our success can be so much greater if we can find a way to get our new cohorts acclimated a little bit faster at an accelerated pace, get them on the ground, sourcing, doing tier diligence, and really, you know, getting deals through in front of the IB to ultimately, you know, expand our portfolio and have the best chance of success as possible.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure, just as my experience is, you probably had a similar time when joining the fund. It was pretty difficult to get acclimated, especially at the speed at which you kind of need to. And yeah, I would love to kind of hear more about the kind of ways that you would suggest, like kind of restarting, how would you go about learning these concepts and doing these the sourcing and reaching out to founders and doing all this stuff for the first time? Like, how would you go about that and go about teaching new analysts? Because every semester, like you said, we have new people. We have people that are graduating, people that are leaving, and new people coming on. So, you know, it's always changing and it's always evolving, and we always need to keep these processes up to date. So I'd love to kind of hear more about how that works.
Yeah, it is. I mean, stepping into Hillside, it's a class, right? So you step into Hillside on the first day and there's talks about, you know, this emerging sustainability startup that's doing, you know, changing lampposts into EV chargers and, you know, all of this really technical knowledge and stuff that's extremely intimidating. And when you're a freshman, sophomore, junior, I came in and the leaders of the fund were Ben Gross, Melvin, Alex Kandow, all of which mostly are in VC now, but those guys knew their stuff. And walking into that, you know, with just a ton of resources thrown at you at once, you know, you take a lot from it. And the learning curve is extremely steep in the first few weeks. And, you know, going back, I would spend much more time, you know, divulging myself in the content. I think, you know, learning and following deals from start to finish, you know, reaching out to other people on your team saying, you know, hey, you know, how'd you format this email to the founder? You know, what are some questions you ask them on intro calls? All of this stuff, you know, on a deal basis, it's super, super important to understand, you know, the timeline of a deal and what requirements you have to do to satisfy that deal, you know, through its lifespan. And that's really, you know, a thing that you have to get caught up to quickly. Like I said, I mean, looking back, I think you got to dive in. We have so many resources readily available at our fingertips. Being a student-run VC at such a big university and institution, the opportunities and resources are limitless. So, you know, make the most of those. If you're passionate about it, it should be, you know, it's going to be harder said than done, obviously. But I think, you know, like I said, going back, you really got to divulge in all those resources that are available to you. Use the faculty, use your team members, use the leaders. There's so much knowledge in these students that are at our fund right now. There's no reason that they shouldn't be used.
Yeah, and throughout your tenure at Hillside, at UConn, and doing all this VC work, it would be great if you could touch on, you know, like a favorite deal that you've had or a company that you've really liked working with, a founder in particular, anything like that. I think would be really cool for the audience and not only selfishly myself. I would love to hear kind of what you've worked on and what you've kind of seen that you've liked.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously our deal flow lately has been through the roof. Picking one in particular probably has to be VoltPost. And just because our first interaction with the founder, Luke, was actually in Boston at Boston College's Solstice Conference. Megan Loist was there who's founded Gen Z VCs, a great community. And our efforts weren't even sourcing when we went out to Boston. They were actually to just get Hillside Ventures' name out in the community. It was a conference of VCs as well as startups. And we met Luke there, the founder, co-founder, and he had mentioned that, you know, he went to BC and founded this company that VoltPost that retrofits EV chargers to lampposts. So, you know, there's obviously right now a surplus with EVs and a lack of charging thereof. So that he obviously, that was the problem. Now, where his product comes in is, you know, readily available street-side charging, which we thought was awesome. You know, they made their product at a relatively low cost. You know, costs were kept low and the potential was limitless. You know, we saw a lot of pilots go out, which were exciting. And, you know, a lot of deals I've worked on have been great. However, you know, this one was special because we met the founder at a really interesting event. And then also, you know, I go to UConn, but I'm actually from Michigan, and they had a bunch of pilots in Detroit, which had really excited me. The Motor City is, you know, filled with automobile manufacturers. I thought that was a great place for them to get started and then continue their business. And so I think everything was going good. I was on that team with Joe Roberts and a bunch of other people in the sustainability vertical. And I think, you know, looking back, getting that approved by the IB and IC, presenting it to the foundation was just really awesome. It's probably one of my top deals so far.
Yeah, no, VoltPost is a super cool company and glad that it's a part of what we do at Hillside and, yeah. and who we're able to reach and impact. So
yeah, no, it's interesting as well. Like that was our first 50K check. So that's another reason why, you know, it's one of my favorites. It's the largest investment we've made to date. And, you know, that was even back and forth. The closing was back and forth. You know, we're a 25K check fund. And, you know, we went at them with that and they said, you know, sorry, we can't do it. We went at them with 50 and they said, sorry, we can't do it. You know, to a glad surprise, we got back 2 weeks later from Luke and he said, you know what, you know, we'd love to have you on our table. So, you know, super, super interesting deal. A lot of experience, a lot of knowledge learned from that, taken away. Yeah, it really interesting.
Yeah, no, VoltPost was an amazing journey, not only for the fund, but for us experiencing that. So kind of with the VC side of things, it'd be great to kind of move a little bit forward and kind of talk about how you've balanced being both a student athlete and a student venture capitalist.
It's difficult. I'm not going to lie. It's super difficult. You know, the fall is okay. Reason being, we're not in season. The spring is when it really gets hectic. So, you know, I travel Thursday through Sunday. Most of the time I get back, you know, Monday morning at 1 or 2 a.m., unless we're all the way out on the West Coast. You know, you're getting back Monday morning at, you're landing in Boston, taking the 2-hour trip to Storrs, Connecticut, and you got to be in class by 9 a.m. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough. And definitely a lot about priorities. But it's also great because, you know, you're able to deploy your teamwork and leadership skills somewhere else. I think I've taken a lot of things out from being, you know, on the baseball team here at UConn, and being able to deploy that, you know, meet new people in Hillside has just been such a pleasure. And, you know, although the schedule is hectic, I like to work. I like to work a lot. The work at Hillside, you know, that's required is super interesting. You really see it pay off with a lot of the students. Leading the fund, you know, my ultimate goal is to not only have the fund headed in the right direction for future years, but also have you guys headed in the right direction for future years. You know, I care about our analysts, our associates, our other MDs. But, you know, being a student athlete, there's definitely been things that I'm upset about not being able to be there for, you know, such as some of our IB meetings I'm not able to make because of games. You know, right after this, I actually have to run to a game here in about 45 minutes. It's just stuff like that, you know, I walked out of class early yesterday for a game, and it's like the schedule is definitely hectic, but I think the payoff and the return is much worth it. You know, we've even taken other athletes in our fund. I know Amanda McMahon is on the women's lacrosse team. We both have similar experiences with, you know, workload and athletic schedules. And I think, you know, bringing that diversity to the fund has been great. And the lessons learned from managing both, it's a lot about time management. You know, everyone comes into college talking about time management. How are you going to manage your time? You know, that's when you really learn, you know, a lot about yourself and a lot about, you know, school. Time management has been difficult, but it's something that I've learned and taken away for sure, you know, being so involved with Hillside.
Yeah, no, that's key, especially with something as autonomous as being a venture capitalist, is you kind of do things on your own time and you kind of act as an entrepreneur in the sort that you do stuff when you deem fit and when you need to progress things.
Yeah.
And like reaching out to founders and like new connections and doing the diligence, like that's all, there's deadlines, but it's all kind of up to you at the end of the day. So like managing your time and being able to do not only do that, but also tend to the schedules of your games, your practices and things like that, that's super important. And I think, you know, that's a great skill and thing that you've acquired through your experience of having both things. So with those experience of kind of being both a student VC and an athlete, what's kind of the lesson or takeaway that you've gotten from these past 4 years, both, you know, either professionally or personally?
I think, you know, you learn to manage relationships really well. You're not always, you know, you're not always on your phone to reply to emails the quickest. And you're meeting a lot of cool people in a lot of different areas, right? You know, I've met some people, you know, working for the MLB. I've met founders. I've met CEOs. I've met investors. You know, you're meeting a lot of people. And going back to something I touched on earlier was time management. That's what it's all about. You know, Hillside, unlike the baseball team, which requires you to be at practice during very specified times, Hillside has some meetings, but a lot of it, you know, what you get out of it is what you put into it. So like you said earlier, you know, you can go home after practice. It's, you know, 8:30. You can grind out 2 hours of work, cold emailing founders, doing diligence on companies in the pipeline. You know, you can put that work in outside of Hillside's class, just like baseball as well. I think lessons learned is just priorities. That's the big thing is, you know, what can you manage? What can you take and not overdoing it? You know, I found myself in a situation sophomore year where I was president of IB Society, or junior year, I was president of IB Society, managing director at Hillside on the baseball team. And it was a bit too much, right? So you look at and you value your options and you you think back and say, hey, you know, where can I, you know, free up some time so that I can put 110% into everything? And the biggest thing that I learned is that, you know, you may not be putting 110% into something, then it may not be worth it, right? I think if you can't give something your all, maybe try to scale back some other things that you're not getting as much benefit from so that you can put that extra benefit towards things that, you know, matter most to you, that you're getting most out of. I think it's better for yourself, and I think it's what others deserve as well.
Yeah, no, priorities is a super important topic, and it's something that I've personally thought about a lot, stretching myself too thin with too many different priorities and commitments, and kind of like taking a step back and reflecting on what's really important and what I actually want to pour my time and my energy and my work towards. So that's a super interesting thing that, you know, we can all take away from this, especially moving forward and kind of figuring out, hey, like, is this something I even want to do going forward? Like, you try it. If it's for you, you continue. If it's not, hey, you figured out that it's not for you. So
yeah. And I mean, we go to UConn, right? Which is a university, it's college. So
exactly.
You have a lot of options. You know, you constantly have options coming across your plate. There's a lot of interesting things to apply for. You know, Hillside catches the attention of a lot of students. You know, we've had great, you know, application numbers. Beside the point, you have a lot of decisions to make, right? So you could do one thing, you could do this other thing. It's all about, you know, what to prioritize, what interests you the most, and what you get the most out of. That will kind of set you up for success in the future. So I mean, I totally understand. I think if you say that you don't have a problem, you know, organizing your priorities, I think you're lying, you know? So.
Yeah, definitely. So just wanted to kind of wrap things up and talk a little bit about like kind of more of the athlete side of things, like some cool things that are happening at UConn with Championship Labs. So the cool thing is that Rudy Gay is actually on the advisory committee. And I just wanted to kind of ask you about how kind of like this whole ecosystem of helping athletes and providing kind of a community and an outlet here with Championship Labs and kind of this whole area, how is this kind of benefited you, your team, your teammates especially, and like how do you see this helping other students, especially with new NIL rules and kind of things like that?
Yeah, it's a really big deal. I mean, ever since the legislation was signed about a year ago, you know, companies, universities, athletic departments, athletes, everyone's been changed. Now being able to profit off your name, image, and likeness is pretty wild for, you know, something that wasn't possible or feasible for so many years, all of a sudden becoming a thing and learning how to market yourself. I think, like you said, you know, Championship Labs here at UConn has done a wonderful job, although I haven't done too much work with them. They're doing work with my teammates. They're doing work with student athletes on other sports teams. It's a super impressive initiative that UConn has taken. It gets both students closer with athletes and then connects alumni with student athletes currently, and to give them, you know, financial help and pay them, you know, to do a post on Instagram or some simple stuff. I think it's great marketing. I think a lot of sides are winning with it. You're seeing the universities benefit, like I said, from the alumni engagement, but you're also seeing athletes, you know, benefit from it tremendously. You know, it's so rare to get paid for an Instagram post. You know, for the longest time when I entered college as a baseball player, I never even thought in my mind that I could get paid by a company or a person, right? Now that being possible, you know, is super interesting. One thing I will say is it does benefit the more popular student athletes a lot more than it does. A thing that we've, you know, had a tough time with as far as the baseball team is, you know, finding sponsors that are willing to pay you. You know, if you look at people on the basketball team, you know, with 60,000 followers, that's where everyone kind of migrates to, you know, and that's definitely a difficulty that we've found. But people are open, you know, to helping you in any way, and that's what's been really exciting. It's an awesome initiative, and really love what UConn is doing on this front.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing opportunity, and like you mentioned, the basketball team, shout out for making it to the Final Four.
Huge.
It's going to be an amazing game on Saturday. But yeah, it's like, as you were mentioning, even like Bronny, LeBron James' son is valued at, his NIL contract's like $7.2 million.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, the ability to make money and kind of have those opportunities at your footstep at, like, the athlete level, at college athlete, at, you know, it's super rewarding. And like you said, there are some challenges and some pitfalls, some cons to it.
For sure.
Especially when it comes to, you know, popularity and that sort of term, and like following and social media, but as ways to go. And I think it's going to provide a lot of opportunity for all student athletes at a certain point and be able to take advantage of this. And
yeah, you're also seeing, you know, it's weighing in people's decisions on when to go pro. You know, the thing was, you enter college with whatever sport you may be playing, and the end goal is to go pro. I'm not saying that's changed. But what I'm saying is, maybe, you know, that's not the rush anymore. Because if money was an issue, they were seeking that big signing bonus or that contract with a professional organization.
Yep.
You know, now you're getting paid at the undergraduate level while still doing school, getting an education. You're getting the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
And so that's definitely influenced a lot of people's decisions, which is something interesting as well, and something that, you know, NIL has changed.
Definitely. So just wanted to kind of wrap things up. I appreciate you being on, Mason. It's been great. Just kind of last thing, like, do you want to give the audience kind of like the one last gem or tip that, you know, you have either in the venture capital space, being a student athlete in college, really anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, ending it, and appreciate a lot for coming and having me on. The number one tip of advice I would say is just, you know, go after things. The worst that can happen is no, right? So when you're weighing opportunities, when you see something cool, put yourself, you know, in those shoes and really think about it, but just go for it. You know, I think you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, and I know that's a super common quote, but it's really true. I look at where I am today with a lot of the opportunities that I've been presented with, and it's all because mostly that I initiated it, right? If people are seeing interest in something, which we are, you know, we have a lot of applicants in Hillside, and a lot of people want to play Division I baseball at UConn, right? Two very popular things is that, you know, no one came to me really for those opportunities. And people nowadays are really busy, right? And, you know, work doesn't necessarily end with, you know, all this technology, constant communication, remote working. I'm going down a rabbit hole here, but I think, you know, go out and get the opportunities that you want. Meet really cool people. Expand your networks. A lot of today is about who you know, as well as what you know. But, you know, go after things. Go get something that sounds cool. Divulge yourself in whatever it takes. Talk to a lot of people. I think today's age is so innovative. You know, Gen Z is such, you know, a cool generation. And you know, a lot of people in our generation are doing great things. So, you know, go out there. Find those people, find something you like, indulge yourself in it, and live happy is what I have to end it with.
Yeah, it sounds like a Nike salesperson. Just do it.
Yeah, but, just do it.
But at exactly. The end of the day, that's really all it is just taking action. But with that, I appreciate you being on the podcast, Mason. Good luck with your game. For the audience, if you guys have any questions or ideas about the podcast, please feel free to reach out to either Joe or I. You can stay updated with us through this podcast, our Substack newsletter, and our Twitter at Hillside Ventures. But with that, we appreciate your time and listening to the Hillside Ventures podcast. This was Shivam Patel here with Mason, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.